ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It's an F Yeah Friday. That's an F hyphen Yeah Friday. That means we're going to have fun. We're going to talk football. Heck, we're going to do lots of good stuff. You know why? Because the blessings are upon us, Nico. Because we have the birthday boy in-house. Travis has some in-house keeping to do, out of house. He's out of town. So for the second straight day, we are blessed with today birthday boy, 17-year NFL veteran, Super Bowl champion.
Nick, you're my guy.
Keenan McCardle.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you.
He is 29 for the 56th time, and we are honored to have him on his birthday.
It's the reason why I say I'm 29. It's like when I play.
You do look it. You can pull that off.
Like when I played, everybody in the NFL, when I played in the NFL, everybody would say, well, when you get to 30, you're on your way out. So I always used to say, I'm 29. So I got the 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. I'm not going to tell my age, but I am 36. But I got the 29, and I said I'm not turning any other age but 29.
It works for you, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. And there's not, like I said, there's not a lot of people that are going to argue that. Nick went to the game last night.
I did.
Yeah, a lot of things that we talked about. This is not a coincidence, people. A lot of things that we talked about came to fruition over the course of the last 24 hours. Let's start with the fact that, again, Nicholas, a very disappointing turnout for a big game. Everybody guaranteed me yesterday on Twitter that was talking to the show and everything like that, that, hey, it's going to be different tonight. It's MVP candidates. It's a big game. They got to win, at least tie the season series. You and I were going back and forth leading up the tip-off, and when I turned on that tube and looked at that lower bowl, I was like, what, is they got a scrimmage going on?
Yeah, I believe I sent the text, like 5 minutes before tip-off?
Right during intros.
Right. Yeah, it was like six. Yeah, right during intros.
Yep.
They showed the guys at halftime.
Yeah.
And, you know, you usually have people sitting behind those guys.
Right. Yeah.
It looked like...
Did you see that? They actually put the James Harden head...
It was only two people sitting behind them.
And I was like, did they just tape that pregame and just run it for halftime? There's nobody there.
Did they go up to the club section and have drinks or something? I mean, it was nobody there.
And the funny thing was, because like I said, we had talked about this and how it really bothers me and disappoints me about what I still think is a passionate sports town in Houston, that it's not just Rockets games. They do this across the board. And we had some conversation about it yesterday. Fans were tweeting me pictures of the line out front before the doors open. I'm like, excellent. That's great. It's exactly what we need. But I said, do me a favor. Send me another picture in the first quarter. All of a sudden, I'm sending them messages. Are you going to send that picture? They're like, well, maybe you were right. I'm like, I don't want to be right. I want the fan base to be there. And, you know, then there's other people that want to, you know, have no business being in the conversation and have missed three quarters of it. And all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, they're like, what a great full house start to finish tonight. Look, this doesn't look like empty seats. Well, when you got a tie game and 3.7 seconds left and everybody's standing up, it damn well should be full, and everybody should be on their feet. And when you're on your feet, it can cover up a lot of the short, too. Look, I want them to draw well, and I feel like this town should be there. It's no fluke at this point in the season that this team's doing what it's doing, but they need support.
You know what? I think some of the issues was at the beginning when they hired D'Antoni. I don't think a lot of the people here in Houston believed in D'Antoni.
Okay.
But if people look at the work that he's put in with this team, you got to start to believe in him, because they played really good basketball last night. I was really impressed with the Rockets and the way they played. You know, I was thinking that they were going to do what you said. They wasn't going to close out a game. It was very, very close. I was going to say, well, Joel is right, because they're not closing it out.
But I was right anyway, because what I was saying is this is something they got to work on. And it happened again. They had 20-point lead. They were in full command in the second half.
They had a 10-point lead with 4:23 left.
So we got to the 6-minute mark, and I made the tweet because I know some people start. You always jinx them. I go, no, I'm just going to be honest in what I see. And with 6 minutes to go, that 20-point lead was down to four. And yeah. I went, oh, Lord, this is exactly what I said they got to work on. One, people were saying, hey, you were right, because they were getting exposed on the low post. And Adams was getting some baskets.
Yes, they yeah, were.
You know
really
what?
Getting...
And they were pounding it when Westbrook wasn't gunning it. And then you take it from there, and I go, the 20-point lead's gone, and suddenly it's tied. And I'm going, look, I don't want to be right, but I'm telling you, these are things they got to work on. And again, for the third time against the same team, they let a big double-digit lead get away in the second half. And thankfully, for two out of the three games, they were able to hang on.
Right. I mean, and Westbrook took a bad shot when the game was tied. That was a bad shot. I mean, he had – it was James Harden versus Russell Westbrook, and he settled for a three.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen him try to get to the basket to make it, you know, make it a real –
do what he does best.
Just do what he does best and make it a high percentage shot for his team.
Yeah. No, granted now, he made eight threes. He was shooting really well, right? That was a career high for made threes. But don't get three happy, because – his best basketball is when he's putting it on the floor with a head of steam and he's taking it to the rack. But, and Roberson had just blocked Harden.
Right. That was a big block by Roberson.
Which shouldn't have happened, in my opinion.
James was shocked.
Say that again?
It should not have happened.
Well, I think James was really shocked how long Roberson – I mean, he's a long defensive player. He
right.
got out there. James thought he had enough room, enough space to make that three.
Exactly.
And Roberson got out there, and I was like, wow.
Why do you say it shouldn't have happened?
Because he was wide open. Roberson is just an athlete.
He closed in a hurry, but James also seemed like James kind of relaxed.
He kind of relaxed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He waited too long to release that basketball, and that's why he got blocked.
I like to say you could have timed it with a calendar, because instead of a stopwatch, he decided to put it in slow-mo, like, I got this, and let's make this poster perfect.
I say, yeah,
and he got it thrown back over his head.
James Harden doesn't have the quickest release, but it's much faster than that. He just held on to that ball way too long, and that's why he got that block.
For sure.
Good defensive play for Roberson. Roberson, I don't want to take anything away from him. He flew across the paint to get that block.
You know, and again, our boy Kurt Lowe was going off calling him Westbrick. And I said, so he was six of his first seven.
Right.
He had made three threes. He made eight in the game. And Kurt Lowe's response to me after the game was, he came back to being who he was. He was 16 of 34. I go, okay, so he is 16 of 32 is 50%. He's just under 50%. But by the way, he had 49 points.
Yeah.
And was the driving force. Remember how when we got asked yesterday, would he go 25 or more, and we both went over?
Yes.
He almost doubled that.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't convinced that Pat Beverly's presence was going to make a difference, and he was very open about how much his wrist was
hurting.
Throbbing and just in pain. He was even more open about it after. But Coach D'Antoni was like, they assured him that him playing through that injury would not make it worse. So he had to play through a hurt wrist. I'm not so sure that if he had a good wrist that it would have made a difference.
Well,
but
I'll tell you this, to play defense, you need your legs.
Yep, yeah, true.
The heck with your wrist. I mean, you can, if you reach against Westbrook, you're probably going to get a foul call, which he got a couple fouls called, some petty fouls called, but he got them called. You just need your legs. I just like the fact that he gutted it out and stepped up for his team, because he is that bulldog for that team. So, I really like that he got out there and gutted it out.
But I'll say this. A lot of people, too, talking about I was talking about the two teams. I said, what I want to see is, I don't want to see this MVP back and forth. I want to see a team that steps up, that needs to win, that's going to win, that proves that they should be better than the Oklahoma City Thunder by winning the game. They did that.
Yes.
Okay? But in the process, everybody's saying, well, you know, when they're trying to be critical of Westbrook, well, you know, he guns, he shoots too much. You know, he doesn't have any help. And they said, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, you lose Kevin Durant. And I will say this, it's a conundrum, right? They have the deepest team in the league, 1 through 15. However, aside from Russell Westbrook, 14 of those guys are role players.
Yes.
That any team in the league would probably take the top 10 or 11. But they're just that. They're role players. And you forget when you were Robin your whole life to Batman, and now you're Batman, how great it was to be Batman and Robin and have that supporting cast.
It'd be interesting to see if you could name... if anybody could name the second highest scorer on that team.
That's a great question, too, because you know what? I sat there and looked and said, it's crazy how a team, you take one piece out. With Kevin Durant, that's a championship contender, and that's the deepest team in the league. Without Kevin Durant, It may be the deepest team in the league that has no chance of coming close to a championship.
You're right.
Unbelievable. All right, we want you to be a part of the show. We've got the birthday boy for 3 hours. We're 1 to 4 p.m., and we're going to do talking plenty of Texans and a preview of the Texans game. I got a surprise for Mac and someone that's probably going to call in to make his day for his birthday. We're going to be talking about a whole lot of things, and we want you to be a part of the show, so why don't you give us a call, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us or call that number. We'll get you on the show. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter, at Keenan McCardell, at No Hit Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
H-Town, it's a F Yeah Friday, and we got the birthday boy, Keenan McCardell. We got Nick Shirai behind the glass, myself, Joel Blank, and we're going to kick some ass from here up until 4 o'clock. I got a surprise for my man, Mac, at 1:30 for his birthday. Got someone that's going to call in and join us. It's also going to bring some knowledge. You'll like that. I guarantee it because of his resume. We were talking about the Rockets before the break, Mac. And I was talking about a certain guy that has followed me throughout my time in Houston.
Yep.
And when you say diehard Rockets fan, right?
This hard.
Guy is like Bruce Willis in each and every one of those movies. I mean, but the problem is that sometimes he's so over the top. It's not only that he drank like a quart of Kool-Aid.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But that he's got blinders on and he can't
see.
He can't show love to others and he can't see that there are other teams playing the game too. Okay. So, without further ado, I will bring my man Kurt Lowe in. And as always, we warn him, Nick. The leash is short, but he can go off. But you know, you and I were both midstream with him last night, so we'll allow him to get some airtime. Kurt Lowe, what's up, man? This.
Yeah.
Kurt Lowe, what's up?
What's going on, my man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
What's up, Kurt Lowe?
I thought you was on the rag yesterday, man. I see you getting argued with everybody yesterday, man.
Yeah,
what's going on, Joe? You all right?
Yeah, I was a little fired up yesterday, Kurt Lowe, because you know what? It's like people read things or they get in the middle of a conversation between me and someone else, which I like to say is when we're going back and forth on something and it's rational, it's a discussion. But when people are irrational or, you know, they're so one-sided that they try and treat it like an argument and they come out and the first thing they say is they try and take a shot at you. It's like, whoa, slow. You know what? It ain't about all that. This is just sports. It's not real life. So let's just, if you want to have an educated discussion, we can do that. And some people just can't see clear to do that because they feel like Twitter is their way to unleash. And yeah, you know me. I have an ability to set the record straight, so to speak.
All you got to do is hit that block button like me, man. I got time for it. You know what I'm saying?
You're like Dikembe. I did notice that. Yeah, you're like Dikembe. You shake the pointer finger and they're gone.
Yeah, it's over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Insults, any kind of crazy thing you say, hey, you're hitting the block. Any kind of hard and slam, you're getting that big block. You know
bye,
what I'm
Felicia.
Saying?
Bye. I saw it. All right, so what's on your mind, brother? You're happy about last night. You still want to call him Westbrook. I made mention of it. I think it's an absolutely ridiculous moniker for a guy that you just – I tip my cap to him. I give him credit. You don't because you say that, you know, his volume of shots is too much. And you can go on and tell the people why you don't. But, I mean, I just think it's good for the game of basketball to see two guys – slugging it out for MVP, putting up numbers like they're putting up.
No, I understand this, Joel. I respect everything about his game, from assists to rebounds to the points he's putting up. But we talking about the volume of shots he's putting up and the shots that he's missing. Nobody's talking about that, like the Kobe Bryant effect. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he
There's
has to.
The reason why some of them guys are losing.
Carlo, he has to shoot like that for the team. Look at the team he's on.
No,
he has no scores.
No.
I Kurt Lowe, now here's two things for
you. Give me a score on that roster.
Let me explain it to you. If you're not an efficient shooter, you shouldn't be shooting the ball. Am I correct? You know that.
No, you're not correct because if he's the only guy capable of scoring points for your team, you got to go to him.
He's the only guy on that team that can create his own shot and get to the basket.
He should be able to create for others too.
Well, he tries.
He does.
Did you see? Hey, Kurt Lowe, Kurt Lowe, first quarter, did you see how many assists he got to Steven Adams?
And he bobbled, which made him mad. He was bobbling all the assists to him.
Kurt Lowe, you know what? This is where you should be living in the past a little bit. You've seen this before only you've seen it in a different uniform. This is James Harden of last year when he would try to make the passes and distribute the ball, and once the guys on his team wouldn't knock down shots and missed wide open looks, he would get frustrated and say, I got to do it myself. This is what you're seeing in Russell Westbrook. And oh, by the way, he had 8 threes last night because you said he couldn't shoot the 3 ball. He had 8 threes last night, okay? And you were holding your breath to make sure he shot less than 50%, but for 3.5 quarters of that game, he was well over 50%, while your boy Harden was only 3 for 15, 3 for 16, and he got his points at the line. So I was trying to tell you, you can say efficiency. I can say shooting a higher percentage. Westbrook did everything he could last night to win that game for his team with not a lot of offensive help. I even highlighted the numbers. You had 4 guys in double figures for the Thunder and then another guy with 8. You had 6 in double and 8 with at least 8 for the Rockets. There's a big difference in who's getting help.
I will say this, though. I will say this, Carlo, though. I'm with you on the fact that James Harden created more for his team than Russell Westbrook last night.
Because he trusts his team more.
Yeah, but he did. He created plays. He created more opportunities for Russell Westbrook, and that's why the Rockets won.
Now, I take the steroids out of it. I take Maguire, Sosa, and the whole steroid thing, and I'm telling you, this is one of the best things for basketball this season. Because instead of talking about the Warriors all year, which everybody was thinking they were going to do, you're talking about two guys that are putting up stats we haven't seen before, that are doing things that are making the entire league more interesting.
Let me explain this to you, man. Basketball, and I know you know this. I ain't got to explain it, but I'm going to explain it to your fans, because I know this is the number one show in Houston.
Okay, go ahead.
Basketball is a team sport, not an individual sport, okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how many shots you put up. It's about efficiency. They wouldn't give Steph Curry MVPs if he wasn't an efficient shooter. They wouldn't give MVPs to Kevin Durant if he was a horrible shooter. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. Harden is an excellent three-point shooter, but he's not a great field goal percentage person. But it doesn't matter because he gets to the line 10 times and makes gets to the line 11 times and makes 10 of them. You know what I'm saying? So, but when you talk about the best player in the NBA, and you talk about the best, this guy put up 49 points in a loss. That's a big-time problem. Nobody's looking at that.
I'm looking at someone trying to stop him. If you can't stop him, why would he stop doing what he's doing? And here's the other thing, Kurt Lowe, you got to keep in consideration in this entire thing, is the fact that if he ends up averaging a triple-double for the year, that is something that is sticking in voters' minds, and that's going to be a factor because it hasn't been done since Oscar Robertson, and that's the bar that everybody set. So that's the kind of X factor we got to be careful of here, because as good a year as Harden's having and making his team better and and I know you like the word efficient, the big thing is if he's able to average a triple-double for the year, it could trump everything, and that could be a very, very, very dangerous thing in the voting. Just want to let you know. But I appreciate you joining the show, buddy. You're always welcome, and I appreciate the back and forth on Twitter. Kurt Lowe was there on the phone. He was joining us on the hotline, Nick, and that is always a good thing. Because we need him to be a part of the show sometimes, because we know that he does.
It's a good back and forth between you two. I think you guys both bring valid points. It's fun. Yeah, Curlo's fun.
You know, and the HR and P hotline is just for that.
I like Curlo. Curlo is a diehard Rocket fan. Exactly. So and he's gonna tell it like it is, red and yellow, or red and black,
or red and white. I mean, they've got so many color schemes now. They're going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks. But
I mean,
okay. Here's the thing: I got a problem with, and you know this. And people jumped on it yesterday and were giving me credit for it. Eric Gordon, big again. Eric Gordon, why as an organization, why are you not promoting this guy for being an all-star? He deserves it. His numbers back it up. And yet, all I see is Harden. You know, Harden for this, Harden for that. Harden's going to get it, man. He's doing it. But a team this good should have at least more than one representative, and there's no one better than Eric Gordon. Get him in the game. That's all I'm saying.
You're right.
Thank you. Hey, we got much more show to go. Special guest coming up next for the birthday boy. You don't want to miss it. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I've mentioned in the past, it's Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, and my man Nick Sharara behind the glass, producing as always. It's my man's birthday today.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He's 29 again. This guy will have something to say about that as well.
I'm still 29.
Okay.
Whoever you
So I got is. A guy on hold that I'm bringing in, and I'm pretty sure you got an idea. But I'm going to give you some stats on the resume, and you tell me when you got it. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. High school All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Number retired in college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bull Coalition national champ. Two-time All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Number retired in the pros.
Derrick Brooks.
Indeed, you're right. I now welcome to the show the Hall of Famer, the Super Bowl champion, the 11-time Pro Bowler. His golf game is okay, but he is one heck of a good dude. Number 55 retired in Tampa. Number 10 retired for Travis Johnson's Florida State Seminoles. D. Brooks, welcome to the show, and I give you Keenan McCardell.
Bo, what's up, man?
I'm man, happy birthday. I'm disappointed it took you six things to guess.
No, I already kind of knew.
That must mean you're getting old.
I may be getting a little old, you know, but, you know, just a little bit. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Coach. How about you, man? Happy birthday, obviously, to you. And obviously, it's a pleasure. Anytime I get a chance to chop it up with you and catch up with you, man, and your girls and see what's going on in your world of educating these young men, whether through mentor, coaching, you name it. But Joel, I tell you, man, he's one of the best men that I had the pleasure of playing with and knowing in this game. Even when we was on the opposite sides of the ball when he was in Jacksonville, we just kind of built a friendship through that. And the first crack in the door that Jacksonville allowed him to leave, we came up there with a sledgehammer to break it open for him to come here to Tampa. So we knew that he was the missing piece that we needed to win a Super Bowl, special and off.
I thank you, man, because I remember that. You remember the dinner that we had, John?
Yes.
Groove flew us in, flew me in, and I get off the plane, and you know he say, "Man, you gonna go to dinner with some of the players." You know, most time when you go on a visit in the NFL, you might go with one or two.
Right.
Man, we were at Charlie's?
Malio's at the
Malio's. Yeah, it was Malio's at the time. We basically had the whole defensive side of the ball and Brad Johnson. We had everybody there. We had a party, basically, and it was a done deal.
Yeah, I was going to say no wasn't an option at that point.
No wasn't an option because Bo wasn't going to let me. Brooks wasn't going to let me say no. Sapp wasn't going to let me say no. John Lynch wasn't going to let me say no. And Brad wasn't going to let me say no. It was
a fun time. And John had set it up to, you know, hey, you know, these are some things that we're hearing. So he kind of was telling us all week long that there's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you guys are championship. You know, he always poked at us.
Yes.
He said, you guys are a championship defense. If you're, you know, kahunas are as big as you think they are, you got to close a deal. He said, you guys got to close a deal for us to win a world championship. He said, if you don't get this guy, he said, we will fall short every time. So we like, you know, so now we're searching around. Who is he talking about? What missing piece, you know, is he talking about? You know, just couldn't put it together. You know, the evening before, you know, they flew up to get him, he said, we're buying all, you know, all you guys coming here, and I'm bringing them in here. He said, we're locking the doors. We're not opening the restaurant again until Keenan McCardell signs a contract to play with Tampa. We was like, what? We got a chance to get him? He's like, Coach, set it up. Set it up. It's done.
And it worked out.
It worked out.
And I was going to say, perfect. D, you got to understand now, I met you through him. And because he's on with us a lot, I have to be careful how much credit I give this guy. Because even when I do, you know how he gets. Then he starts, you know, feeling his oats and starts, you know, that strut down the hallway. Like, you know, I got this. I'm like, so we do it in moderation. But from time to time, especially a time like this, I do like to make sure that people know that he is a better guy off the field than he ever was as a player on the field. And he was special on the field. So we really appreciate you you joining us because I know the times that we had playing golf in Tahoe too. Those were some pretty good days to be spent. We used to call it the Boys Club where we did nothing but golf, and those were fun.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yeah, and it was, and you know, obviously, you know, the man Keenan is speaks for himself, and in terms of how he leads, and you know, you get a chance to meet people in your career, honestly, that, you know, football affords this for life. And that's the great thing about this game, that, you know, when you put past the physicality of what it is and just the life lessons that football presents, the next level of it is relationships. And the relationships that you build just over a lifetime that, you know, I'll give anything I can, my left arm, for this man and his family.
Likewise.
And I know he feels, you know, the same about me and my family, Joe. And obviously speaking, you know, you in the same realm of a relationship with him. And that's why, you know, I sit back at times, you know, when you have a reflection. I don't reflect more about my career. I reflect more about, you know, the people that God blessed me to touch. And Keenan crossed my mind, and obviously he knows how I feel, man, in terms of him being a Hall of Famer on the field and off the field. And I know his day is coming, man, because he transcended this game. And not just that one year. If you look at my man's last years here in Tampa,
question.
He showed that he can carry that point in his career, and the young men that played with him, the careers that they went and had. So, to me, that's what speaks volumes about it. When you can elevate someone else's game and continue to push yourself to that next level, that's what being a Hall of Famer is all about.
And I told him, D, I said, look, you know what? It's pass happy these days in the NFL, and we know it watching it on a week-in, wake-out basis, and that's made a lot of stats get inflated. But when he stepped away from the game, aside from the fact that he and Jimmy were the most prolific tandem in NFL history, which people didn't realize, but when then you look at it statistically, when he stepped away and he was in the top 10 in receptions and yards and all these different categories, and you're like, that's before it went nuts and off the charts from a passing game standpoint. That should get a little extra cred because of the fact that he did it at a time when it was more balanced.
Yeah, and also, again, you know, we're saying this because this thing is true. When you talk about receivers, and now they talk about different types. Is he a number one? Is he a number two? Is he a possession? Is he a speed guy? Is he a quick guy? Man, whatever receiver you want to call it, you can put 8 to 7 in it. Because he did it all. When he needed to be downfield, stress the defense, he did. When he needed to be a red zone receiver, he did. When he needed to be a slot receiver, possession receiver, move the chain, he did. When he had to teach others and take the step back to let others lead, he did. When it was time for him to lead and lead the team, he did. So when I look at all the types of receivers, it, again, just to continue to build a resume, that's what K-Mac was able to do. Not just for a splash in the pan. We talking about years.
Yeah, for sure.
Sustainability of greatness. You know, but that's what he was able to do.
It's funny you say that because I listen to guys say, well, you know, this guy's a slot guy. This guy's an outside guy. Man, when we play, you have to be a receiver. You have to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And because if you didn't do both, defenses didn't respect you. I mean, when you step out on the field, if you was just an outside speed guy, the defense would be like, well, he's going deep. That's all he's going to do. Let's just watch him. Hey, he's a slot guy. He's just going to run a 5-yard route. I mean, that right there kind of gets at me now with the way people mold these receivers now. I'm like, the word wide receiver means your total package, not just a specialty package. And a lot of these guys these days are fortunate enough to get paid in this league just because they play one position. They don't play all the positions at receiver. So, you know, I always look, you know, when I'm coaching, I look for a guy that can play it all. And it's the most value for a guy that, I mean, for the team and for that, for you as a coach and for that person.
Okay, look, hey, I want to say this, D. First of all, this is his day. I know that. But you know the saying, birds of a feather flock together. I'm not going to take a few seconds here to say, look, on the flip side, if you want to talk about someone that did the exact same thing on the defensive side of the ball, that is a role model and a living example of how to do it on and off the field, that's 55. That's Derek Brooks.
All day long. Question. I mean, he was probably he's the best leader that I've been around, man. And it was funny on a Super Bowl team. It's funny. Me and him would be in the locker room. We'd have Warren Sapp on one side of the locker room, Keyshawn Johnson on the other side of the locker room. Me and him meet in the middle. He say, you take care of your guy, I'll take care of my guy.
You know what? It's a shame, too, because I guarantee you if Travis Johnson was here today, he'd say the same thing about you because I know how Seminole Nation is, too. Yeah. But You know what? That's why it's special to have you two guys on together, but have be able to call both you guys friends, because I mean, they don't get any better, and they threw away the mold when they made guys like you guys, and it's just it's special when you guys are sharing memories like that. So we really appreciate you joining us. I don't know if you got to go. We got to get a break real quick. If we can come back,
if you got a chance, we'll talk
a little football.
All right, I can hang on for another segment.
Yeah, we'll just do one more quick segment. Nick, we'll take a break, then we'll be right back with Derek Brooks. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, the birthday boy, Keenan McCardell, and on our special day, when we honor the 29th birthday of Keenan McCardell for the 56th time, I welcome back Hall of Famer and a teammate of his for Super Bowl champ Derek Brooks. And D. Brooks, we appreciate the love and spending some time. I know you're a busy man, and you're still in that Arena Football League stuff, are you not?
Yes. Yes, I'm currently still running the Tampa Bay Storm Arena team, and we start our season up here the first week of April through the first week of August, kind of giving a football fix before the NFL get going. And my current job, you know, in terms of the NFL is, you'll be an appeals officer for the players.
I bet that's been exciting, huh?
I bet you it's eventful. It's eventful.
Yes, it has definitely been more of an education just in terms of really staying connected to the players and just working, you know, with Troy Benson and the operations staff. It gives you, you know, a different appreciation and a different lens in terms of dealing with, you know, NFL players and coaches. And I'm just trying to, again, do what I can to help out as much as I can, not just with players, but, you know, the former player platform as well. And a lot of players such as, you know, K-Mac too, are into coaching. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really, you know, leaning on teams in the NFL just through my small role to embrace the idea of how we continue to get former players that are taking coaching seriously involved, whether it's, you know, high school, college, pro ranks. You know, now you're starting to see that turnover in players that are seriously getting involved in coaching, because some of them are not playing as long and retiring earlier, but also have a different vision of investing into the game. So a lot of that, you know, obviously my man K-Mac there is, you know, involved in the coaching aspect, and he can speak more about that. But that's just some of the small things I do right now.
Those are not small things.
Those are not small things.
And we're
bro.
Glad you're still involved in the game, because it can only make the game better. And Lord knows in certain areas it needs it. But with that being said, D, we want to get your opinions on some things with the NFL. It's wild card weekend. There's four games, and I know you're still in contact with these games. You got a pretty good finger on the pulse of what's going on. So people here obviously concerned about the Texans, but they're hosting the Raiders, and we just want to get your takes on the four games. What do you see when you see Houston hosting Oakland this weekend?
Well, you know, they both got their current quarterback position in very different ways.
Yes.
And you tend to lean on Houston being more experienced at the quarterback position and hosting a home playoff game. I tend to give them the edge right now just from where Oakland is today. But at the same time, they cannot underestimate Oakland's offensive line. And if they're able to dictate that game and control the pace and allow the running game to get going to keep Cook comfortable in the pocket on manageable downs, that's going to be a problem. So with Houston, I would say the defense holds and the offense got to get out. Got to get out and score points. You just got to think, because Oakland don't have the explosiveness of the offense because Derek Carr is not there, if Houston can get out early and put up some points, that they will be fine. So I would say that's the formula there, is control the tempo up front, try to extend and keep it a two-score game and get Oakland out of its comfort zone. I think that'll be the key to the Texans being able to win it. On the flip side,
that's old defensive mindset right there. Only two scores, huh? That's the defensive mindset.
Hey, keep two scores ahead. They'll be fine. But again, on the flip side, if Oakland's offensive line which has been very good all year, can dictate the tempo, then, you know, that tipped the scales towards the Raiders.
All right. What about the 7-15 game with the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks? What do you see in that matchup?
You see how, first of all, you look and see how is weather going to impact that game. Seattle is used to playing in those elements, and Detroit is not.
37 degrees, my weather report says at game time, D.
It could be wet, rainy, but one thing is definitely going to be is loud.
We both so know how hard it is, huh, to play there.
Yes, it is. So how can Detroit manage the noise? But based on Seattle's history, you know, you give them the experience history of being able to pull through. But that is the one game this weekend, if you say people probably wouldn't be surprised at an upset, is that one. Because
wow.
Yeah. Because they just haven't been as dominant as they've been in the past, and that's when you're comparing, you know, the Seattle teams that went to the Super Bowl to this year, you can say their defense hadn't been as dominant. But for me, you know, I look at they're at home. They still the Seattle Seahawks at home in the playoffs, and they can – you know, obviously control the tempo, but
people said losing Earl Thomas had a bigger value than most people thought initially. That Earl Thomas, because he takes care of the back half of that defense, and that was a huge loss for them.
Yeah, and then the injury factor. Yeah. They've not played with, you know, their starting 11, maybe a handful of snaps.
True,
but that's what I was saying about Detroit, though. When people have counted them out this year, they found a way to win.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that, yes, they've struggled and they seem to be limping into the playoffs, but they're going to lean on the fact that they found a way. And sometimes just finding a way is all you need to do is win, especially this part of the season.
Speaking of weather.
Oh, no.
And the fact that I had to get to this game because, as Keenan hates every single week, he knows my favorite team plays in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Brooks, hold on before he tell you this. He's dressed out in all-green Packer uniform right now.
Oh, no, tell me, not a uniform.
I mean, it's a warm-up.
Yeah, it's the warm-up.
And he has the beanie also. And he has the jacket.
The only thing he's missing is the cheese head.
That's all
I got one. I just vowed that it'll never touch my head. I can tell you that. But it sits on the coffee table in the man cave. But, talk about a game that's going to have weather. I'm hearing today it's minus 21 with a minus 11 wind chill, temperature and then the wind chill factor. What are you seeing, Giants at Packers?
It's easy to say and not far-fetched to believe the winner of this game you can see going all the way.
Whoa! Brooks!
Seriously! Yes. Preach! Preach! Yes. Let him go!
The formula of what the Giants have done all year long.
Right.
The defense has carried them, but the offense has showed up when they've had to give them timely plays and win games.
Okay.
The experience at the quarterback position with Eli, you can say what they want to say, but he's been consistent when he needed to be consistent in the postseason and gotten his team into a Super Bowl and won it twice. And their defense, again, the timely plays, they've been great across that back end, that secondary. They've been tremendous. And they can disrupt Aaron Rodgers in the passing game. The second reason why I say this, the winner of this game, because now flip side, look at the offense. They found their rhythm in Green Bay.
Right.
And that rhythm has turned out to end up in them running the table and getting hot at the right time, which they did last time they were in a Super Bowl.
True.
So that's why I wouldn't put it – and the NFC is still wide open, despite what Dallas has done all season. NFC still wide open. That's why I say the winner of this game, I would not be surprised if they went all the way.
You know, this guy's smiling over
here.
Oh,
my God.
He has
can preach anytime he wants to preach on that topic. I'm listening all years. I love that.
All right. The last game, which is the first game Sunday, is the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I picked the Steelers to be in the Super Bowl on the AFC side.
Don't lead the man. Let him talk.
Well, I want him to, let him see what I pick, But
yeah, uh-huh.
Let me see what are you saying? What are you seeing this, Bo?
I see this game being a blowout in the other direction. I don't expect Miami to be close. I think the Steelers is the other team that has gotten hot at the right time, just like Green Bay, to go and literally, let's say, challenge New England.
Okay.
They got the recipe to go in there, and the only team that's in the AFC right now that I see that has a legitimate shot of going to Foxborough and knocking off the New England Patriots until a Super Bowl. So I expect, obviously, you know, I'm clapping because I'm in Florida. Glad Miami has accomplished what they've accomplished with losing their starting quarterback. But I just can't imagine right now the way the Steelers have turned their season around that Miami is going to go in there and get a win. This won't be the same game that was in the first quarter of last season, I promise you.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the knowledge, Derek, and always a pleasure. Always welcome on this show. And you know that there are two guys here that will do anything for you at any time. All you got to do is say the word. But Derek Brooks has been our guest, the Hall of Famer, the Super Bowl champ, and the really good friend of one happy birthday, Keenan McCardell. D, have a great weekend and keep doing what you're doing. And we love you and we appreciate you joining the show.
Love you, Brooks.
Oh, absolutely. Take care, K-Mac. And I look forward to talking to you here when I get out there for the Super Bowl.
All right.
Derek Brooks has been our guest. Doesn't get any better than that. One in the books, two to go. We still got plenty more show. You want to join us? Hit us up, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.